Hello and welcome to today's podcast. I'm Lisa Ford, Director of the Arc of New Jersey Family Institute. The Arc of New Jersey Family Institute provides caregivers with the necessary resources and education to access the appropriate supports and services for their loved one with an intellectual and developmental disability. You can find out more about the Arc of New Jersey Family Institute and register for upcoming events at www.thearcfamilyinstitute.org. Today's podcast is with Benny Versace from Spectrum Care Management and Counseling. Benny is the president of Spectrum Care Management and Counseling. So today, this podcast series is designed to provide you with a better understanding of the different services provided by support coordination agencies. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Benny. Hi, Benny. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Great. As you said, I'm the president of Spectrum Care Management and Counseling. I started the business about 20 years ago, providing case management, care management services to seniors, to adults with developmental disabilities, special needs, and provide counseling for a range of anxiety, depression, things like that.
Great. Okay. We'll start with our questions. Our first question, how long has your agency been qualified to provide support coordination?
We've been qualified providers since the inception of the supports program in 2013, but we've been providing support coordination or support services, case management, for over 20 years.
Wow. Okay, great. So what do you feel is the best service you provide to families?
I think the main thing that we do first is putting families at ease by having the knowledge of the supports and services in the DDD system and in the community, so that we can educate them and guide them through the system.
Great. What do you feel is the main role for support coordinators?
That's a hard one to answer because we have so many roles, but our main role is understanding and getting to know the individuals so that we can guide them through this very complicated system so that they can achieve their best life. Throughout the years, we've gained so much knowledge about community resources and how to navigate the many layers of the systems within the developmental disabilities. So really being that navigator, but getting to know the individual, because we know the services like the back of our hand, and the only thing we don't know is the person that we're serving. So to really get to know that person and then connect them with those services.
Great. So have you seen it change from 2013 to today?
Tremendously. And they change, and it changes constantly. So, you know, we want to make sure that we are up to date on all the information, which we are, and be able to communicate that effectively to our families.
Okay, great. So what is the maximum number of families that your support coordinators will have on their caseload?
You know, and this is always a difficult question when people ask us because it's not cut and dry. We don't really look at the number of cases. We look at what's going on with each individual and how many individuals a support coordinator can competently and efficiently handle to, you know, achieve their goals and success. I believe we do things a little bit differently because we have a team approach. So we have several people working with the support coordinator. So it's not just the support coordinator doing everything. Mm-hmm. We have the support coordinator, the support coordination supervisor, a master's level social worker, and a quality assurance coordinator. So they're all serving one individual each. So we're serving right now over 1,000 individuals, and we have 30 support coordinators. So it's about 33 people.
Okay.
You know, but that's just a general ballpark because we really take it case by case.
Right. I love the team approach. It's so helpful.
Yeah. And it works because we found early on that just having the support coordinator, things weren't getting done, things were being missed. And even though a lot of our support coordinators do have masters in social work, we have an additional master's level social worker who is the sort of the troubleshooter, the resource explorer. So so we find that helps. And also we want to constantly make sure we're providing the best quality. So we have that quality assurance coordinator as well on the team.
That's wonderful. Benny, what counties do you serve?
The whole state.
Okay, you're throughout the state. Okay, so when so does your agency have the authority to approve your own consumer service plans?
Absolutely, for several years, yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, so when should a family reach out to your agency?
Well, if there's a family who is looking for services to begin after graduation, those families, I think the best time for them to call is the September, October of the graduating year. Like we were talking about before, things change so much that calling sooner, can be difficult because we don't want services to change and then have families keep getting differing information. So that beginning of that graduating year, assuming, of course, that they've contacted the DDD and have all their enrollment documents completed, that time, in the beginning of the school year is really the best time so that they can prepare for graduation, vet all their agencies and feel comfortable with their selection, well before graduation.
Okay, great. So who is that contact person when they do make that call?
That we have a contact line, so it's our main number, and if they listen to the prompts, they dial one, and then we rotate the contact between myself, our office coordinator, and the supervisors. So we all can answer any questions. If there's something heavy duty that people have really deep questions, they can always ask for me. But most everyone knows pretty much the answers to most of the questions
Okay,
that
great.
families would ask. Yeah.
Okay, great. And so what we can do is we can put that information up with this podcast when we're done. Okay, so when they make that first call, what information should they have ready to share with you?
When they're making the first call to vet the agency, or to if they know that they want to choose us, do you know which one?
Well, we could do with that they're looking to see if you're the agency to go with.
Right. So when a family's calling to find out more about the agency, they're usually asking us the questions. But of course, we want to know a little bit more about the individual and their needs. I like that on the Bog Center, they have their website. They have this great personal profile, which is a really good tool for families to complete, so that it really gets us to know about the individual. So the last question on that personal profile says, "What are your hopes and dreams for the future?" And this is the guiding question for everything. As long as we know what the individual wants and needs and how they want to progress in their life, and that's a really heavy-duty question, and a lot of people may not know that right from the start. They may know what they want in 3 months, which is fine also, but that is a guiding question that they should really have in the back of their minds so that we know how to guide their services. We know the services. We know the healthcare needs and the disabilities, and we have a large population of autism, but we have Down syndrome, Prader-Willi, and so we know all of the backgrounds. We'll want to know, that is the main question. And of course, after that, give us some background information about current needs and supports so that we know what services will be helpful and how we can guide the care of that individual.
That's great. So on the Family Institute website, we have all these different go bags with different topics of information, and one of them is support coordination. And if you do visit that go bag, the information that you're talking about from the Bog Center is in there.
Oh, wonderful. Great.
Okay, so what training do your support coordinators go through before working with families?
So the DDD has standard set of trainings, which we all have to do, which is online modules through the College of Direct Supports, which are about support coordination, and then a 2-day support coordination orientation. But we have then our own extensive training, which the first week a support coordinator starts, they're with their supervisor every day, learning the manuals, learning the caseload, learning the different nuances and just procedures. And then the support coordinator shadows another support coordinator. So So families are always getting a seasoned professional, because even if they're getting a new support coordinator, that support coordinator is mentored by a support coordinator who's been doing it for a while, and obviously their supervisor. So we have several different layers, but also the support coordinators are required to take 12 continuing credits a year. So we keep on top of them and make sure that they're assigned regularly. So we assign them every month those regular continuing education credits. And then every month with their staff meeting, they have in-service education. So I look at what's going on globally with all of our individuals and say, you know what, a lot of people are asking about transportation. So we're going to go, our in-service will be about transportation resources or things like mm-hmm. that. We have a lot of clients with mental health issues. So we're going to go through some of the steps on how to access mental health services. So we have constant continuous training.
Great. Okay. So what is the most common misconception families have before they speak with you?
Well, some families are very well versed when mm-hmm. they call us. Some of the schools do a very good job, but we found that a lot of schools don't, and we're trying to educate the schools, but we find that the families really have no idea what support coordination is. The schools just say you have to sign up with a support coordination agency. So a lot of the confusion is, well, what do we do? How much time do we spend with an individual? How much do we monitor the services? So I think the families think that we are the ones providing the services. I think that's the biggest right. misconception. And we clarify by helping them understand that we guide them in the services. We go over what their needs are. We explain what services are. We give them the resources. We guide them in what to do with those resources. And then we monitor those resources. So once we explain that, and it takes a little bit of explanation. So we have our intake coordinator. We have our support coordinators. We have the supervisor. So we all sort of convey the same message so that the families are comfortable mm-hmm. with understanding what the services are, so that there's no resentment saying, I thought you were supposed to do this. And, you know, so once the families do understand, we hold right. their hand and we're their partner for a good long time.
Right. Do you ever have an opportunity to go into the schools to educate school staff on what you do and how?
Yeah, we do that constantly. Yeah. So, a minimum of once a week, but much more than that. So okay. we have several staff. We have marketing staff, which we don't even like to call them marketing staff because they are support coordinators. So we have support coordinators that part of the time they do support coordination, so they're in it, and then part of the time they're doing, they're going out to schools so that they can educate the teachers on exactly what they have resource teams and things that we speak to. So we're in the schools all year,
constantly. Do any of your support coordinators ever have the opportunity or are invited to sit in on one of the IEP meetings that might be taking place at school?
Oh, we request to sit in on that. Okay. Yeah. So with the transition, we want to be involved so that we don't have that missing link between the school. You know, this is the life that they've known for the past, you know, 20 years sometimes. And so, you know, the families feel more comfortable. We feel more comfortable. The individual feels more comfortable. And we get connected to the school, and so that we can educate the school at the same time on what to expect after the transition, so then the schools can continuously educate, you know, their families. And yeah, it works out nicely.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Okay, so our last question for today, why should a family choose Spectrum Care Management and Counseling as their support coordination agency?
Well, I think prior to the inception of this waiver, Spectrum provided case management for other Medicaid waivers, such as Global Options for Seniors, Traumatic Brain Injury Waiver. So we not only have extensive knowledge of this service delivery system, we have a huge resource pool in addition to the DDD's provider database. So because we are a well-established social service agency, we've been around a long time and have very many long-time employees. So I myself am a licensed clinical social worker who's been providing social work services for over 30 years to adults with special needs, initially in healthcare facilities as a director and as a director of respite services, and also have done private care management. Mm-hmm. So with that knowledge, and I also have a background of work in psychiatric hospitals, we do have a lot of individuals who have mental health issues on top of special needs, and who have a lot of complex medical needs that a lot of families, because of that experience, I think, feel comfortable choosing us as support coordination agency. I also happen to be the guardian of a young 29-year-old woman with special needs who receives services from the DDD. So I'm not only a provider, I know the family mm-hmm. side. Mm-hmm. And many of our staff have siblings and relatives with special needs. So to us, it's personal. It's not just just work. And we absolutely love what we do, and we carry that passion through the families that we serve. We also have a good working relationship with our providers, which helps us navigate the system a lot easier.
You can hear it in this podcast. Thank you, Benny.
And I think I can keep going on and on.
You're wonderful. So thank you so much for doing this with us today.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, it's been an honor.
Oh, it's wonderful. Please remember, you can find additional information about archived podcasts at our website, www.thearcfamilyinstitute.org. I want to thank everyone for listening today, and have a great day. Thanks so much, Benny. This was great.
Thank you. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.